But we're going to pick up in the Proverbs 13, verse 1. This is another one that's repeated a lot in the Proverbs. It says, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction." So we know that he's wanting his son, when he's writing this, he's wanting his son, Rehoboam, to listen. But the thing is, we are born of the Lord, and the Lord's our Father, so we need to hear His instruction so we can apply it spiritually as well. And it says this, "But a scorner heareth not rebuke." So that verse right there would be a good one to put up somewhere where a lot of people in our country could read it. You're getting to a point now, or have gotten to a point, where people will not hear anything that's any kind of a rebuke. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for correction, instruction in righteousness, and we get rebukes out of these Scriptures. But the thing is that I tell you, I would rather get it from the Word. I'd rather get the rebuke in this Word and say, "Man, I didn't like that verse. That, Lord, You know that I wasn't doing right on." I'd rather get it right here than have to get the whipping out in the world. And so the thing is, the Lord tries to tell you. He tries to say, "Look, you can come to My Word, and I can get on to you through the Word and let you get it right, or you can get it out there." And look, I'd rather get the talking to. But it hurts, man. It hurts. But you know, different children. We're children of the Lord. Different children respond different. You know, some kids, you can talk to them, and that talking to hurts them worse than a whipping. Some kids, you can whip them, and the whipping don't bother them all that bad, but it's vice versa. That's how it is with the Lord. You know, sometimes the Lord's children, sometimes He's got children that can come in here and get it by the Word, and they'll get the rebuke and take the rebuke. But you know what? Some of His children, now they say, but you know what? They're going to take a whipping every day, and the Lord's going to have to get them and chastise them all the way till they get to the other side. And you know what? That's just the way they respond. And so it's that's how it is. But it says, "A scorner heareth not rebuke." Verse 2 says, "A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence." Now, that's a pretty bad verse. You can either eat good or you can eat violence. And you know what you'll find out right there? That verse is so true, because our mouth gets us in so much trouble. I tell you what, I've gotten in more trouble by the things I've said. What I believe, if I look back on it, I've said so much stuff that I wished I hadn't have said, and if I'd just kept my mouth shut, than things I've actually done. Because the mouth, and you can actually eat good fruit. Fruit's good, and it's good for you. So you can have good things, but the thing is, a lot of people eat violence. Why? Their soul, man. They get the word. They have whipped their mouth. They use a mouth for the wrong reasons, and buddy, violence comes. You know, you think about this world right here that we live in. They're trained on violence, violence, violence. Well, guess what? It's a violent place. This world is violent. In Genesis 6, the Bible will tell you that everything was, the world was filled with violence. You know what this world loves? Hey, I'm telling you, I have to fight it my own self, because we love that. We're trained to love violence. With all the violent movies are the best sellers. And why? We want to see somebody get punished. We want to see somebody get in a sword fight and all that type of stuff, filled with violence. And so it's hard to guard against that, because that's in us, and that entertains us. Verse 3 said, "He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life." And so he's just reiterating there, verse 2. "But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." Now let me show you an example of that right quick. Turn over in 2 Samuel chapter number 16. And one of the things you'll find over and over and over in the Bible is examples of how people got in trouble with their mouth. And I wish that I could tell you that, yes, I read these verses and, buddy, I keep my mouth shut. I don't. I wish that I could, but that's why it's so much. That's why you have to stay in that Bible, because I have to constantly fight this thing. The Bible says in James that the tongue no man can tame. Well, you know what that means? Take the Lord to tame it. And you know, I heard one pastor say one time, that's why you got your teeth like this He said, it's a cage. He did like it. He said, it's a cage for your tongue. Keep that thing in the cage, man. And that tongue will get out. And man, do things it ought not do. So 2 Samuel chapter number 16, verse 5, David's fleeing from Absalom here, his son. And he's leaving because he knows he could probably whip him, but he don't want to. And it says, as he's going up the hill here, and here comes this guy who's known him for a long time. Verse 6 says, and he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David, and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand, on his left. And verse 7 says, and thus said here with his mouth, Shimei, when he cursed, Come out, thou bloody man, and thou man of Belial, the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. So if you'll notice even verse 5, at the end of that verse it said, he came forth and cursed still as he came. So here comes Shimei. And while I'm telling y'all this, turn over now to 1 Kings chapter 2. I'm sorry, 1 Kings. Now think about this. Here comes a man come up, and what he's saying seems to be true. He's cursing David, and he's mad at David. And he says, well, you know, all this stuff's coming upon you because of your past and everything. No, it was not. You know what? Just because some people say, yeah, that happened to you just because of your past, that's not necessarily so. Some things just happen just because they happen. I mean, some things, you know, there was a time over there in the Gospels where a tower had fallen on some people. And the other folks thought that they were really bad sinners because a tower fell on them. The Lord said, no, look, some of them were good, some of them were bad, but the tower fell on all of them just the same. He said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You know what? You got to realize that you're living in a cursed earth. You take this tornado that came through here, and Ashland, and down here, what was the other part, Myrtle, and some other parts. Well, some people will think, they'll think that thing, and they'll say, why did the Lord let that happen? Friends, we're living in a cursed earth. The Bible also says he makes it rain on the just and on the unjust. Guess what? I wonder sometimes, how can that person live in that much wickedness and do all that junk, do all that lying, do all that drugging, do all that carrying on, and still the Lord still lets them live? Well, guess what? He lets it rain on the just and unjust. So guess what? Just like he's kind to people who I would strike down with lightning, guess what else? Sometimes bad things happen to good people because you're on a cursed earth. And so this guy here is cussing David out, because he's mad at David. And David, you know, you would think sometimes if somebody's mean to you, you'd think, well, he's probably thinking, yep, he's probably right. Well, what it is David is an older man. You know what you'll find out about David? He had all his mighty men with him. Let me tell you something about the mighty men. Those men were so mighty. One man was such a bad dude. I always call him bad dude. He was a good fighter. But when I was a kid, I'd say, well, he's a bad dude. But anyway, he's such a tough guy that they left him with the city one time. 300 Philistines came in, and he whipped them all by himself. 300 men. That's the Bible. That's a tough guy right there. Now look, if David wanted to go in there and whip Absalom, he could have done it. But Absalom come in, took over. You know what? The wise father left, and he said, look, I'm going to let him have it for a little while. The Lord's going to take care of it. You know, he had come to a place in his life where he said, look, whatever come, I've had all this stuff come up in my path, and the Lord brought me through all this. If he wants to bring me through it, he will. So he left. And guess what? Absalom ends up getting hanged later on. But I'm focusing on the mouth of Shimei. You know, you got these people with these mouths, and I do some of the mouthing sometimes myself, as I hate to say it. And the thing is sometimes God has mercy on you. But watch what happens here in 1 Kings chapter number 2. Even though you have a big mouth, the Lord will have mercy on you. And if you'll look at 1 Kings chapter number 2, I'm going to begin the reading here in verse 8. And it says, and behold, this is David talking to Saul. He's telling him about transferring the kingdom, what to do with all these people whenever he becomes the ruler. It says, and behold, thou hast with thee Shimei, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite of Bahurim, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day when I went to Mahanaim. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swear to him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Now guess what? He told him that. He said, look, you got him with you. And he tells him later on in that story, he says, you know what to do with your wisdom. So long story short, Solomon tells him, he says, you go down there and stay. And he says, as long as you don't come back, he said, I'll let you live. Well, guess what? Sometimes the Lord will give you, if you keep mouthing off and things like that, the Lord will give you a little time. He gives us time. But guess what? This guy didn't take the hint. He didn't take the warning Solomon gave him. So look what happens to him over in verse 44. So for 3 years he stayed there like he was supposed to. But anyway, he found an excuse to come back. And so in verse 44 it says, the king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to. Now that's all of us. Well, all of our heart is privy to wickedness. It says that thou didst to my father, or to David my father, therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head, and King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, he was a bad dude, which went out and fell upon him that he died, and the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon. Now, you take from that thing, back to that proverb told you, that you open wide your lips, you have destruction. That story, if you want to go back and read it, teaches us that God will give you space. The Bible says He'll give you space to repent. But you know what the thing is? Solomon gave him a chance. He said, look, I'm giving you a chance where you won't get hurt. And sure enough, he knew that wickedness was in his heart. So guess what we have to do? We all know that it's in us to say things we ought not say. So you know what? If we're going to get around people, you know what? There's certain people. And I know who they bring the worst out of me. They really do. And I'm telling you, I can get around, especially out with some folks I went to, some of them I went to school and stuff with, they just bring the worst out of me. I have to stay away from them. Now some people, you know what you'll find? Some people's the opposite. Some people bring the best out of you. Some people, you know that you can get around them. And nothing, you're not going to get into things, y'all not get into stuff like that. But he told Shimei, you know the wickedness that you're privy to. So if we're going to get around folks and we're going to talk about things we ought not talk about and run folks down and stuff, well, you have to be careful. Why? Because sometimes that stuff will come back on you. And so the Lord warns us about that. So you find those warnings in the Bible, and they're in there. So that man got what was coming to him, so to speak. Back to Proverbs, it said, the soul, in verse 4, of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now that's a good verse for today. There's another sluggard verse. They desire, but they don't have anything. You know why? You take somebody sitting around watching television all the time that's not going to work or anything. Well, they see these other folks and they say, well, that look at all they got. They're driving this car and that car and they got this and they got that. Well, the soul of the sluggard desireth, but he's not going to have if he's not going. You know what? It's one thing to covet, but it's another thing to say, I want what they got, but I'm not going to do what it takes to get what they got. Now that's the thing. If you want something, that's like I'll tell you something. I want Bible knowledge. I want to know about that Bible. Well, guess what? It's not good for me to wish that I had the same Bible knowledge as one of my favorite teachers if I'm not going to do what it takes to get it. If I'm not going to get up early in the morning and read and pray, what am I doing making out like I want what he's got? And I'm going to be a sluggard about it and not do what it takes. You see, that's the thing in this world. But now you're living in a world where everybody wants what somebody else got, but said, look, I want what you got, but look, I'm going to sit at the house all day long and not do anything, and then I'm going to get with a piece of... That's communism. And so that's what's being pushed today. And so it says, they desire and have nothing, but it says, the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Now, this is what it's talking about. Look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92. How much time we got? We got a little time here. Psalm 92, verse 14. And I'm going to back up and read verse 13, give you a little context. It says, those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, which obviously we know this is going to be future, but still the principle's there. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age, they shall be fat and flourishing. Now what he's telling you is, if you're working for the Lord and you're doing things for the Lord, your soul's going to be made fat. Now, this is what it's not talking about. I would rather my soul be... You know, you can literally feed off that word. And once you get... If you get to where you're reading your Bible, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes I can get up from a Bible study and I feel full. It's not a full feeling off of like I just ate a good steak and a potato and a salad. It's a full feeling in that I said, in my heart says, you know what? I just had a good hearty meal. It's just something that you just have to know if you read your Bible, or let's say you read your Bible and that day you got two or three principles, two or three answers, something you've been looking for. You didn't understand something, and that day you knew you got it. Man, your soul's been made fat. There's things that I'll come through this Bible right here and I say, I do not understand that. And some days I'll read, whenever I'm reading through my Bible and I come through Chronicles. Now, I don't feel like I'm getting a thing out of 1st, 2nd Chronicles, 3rd Chronicles. But you know what? Later on, you may have one or two days you really didn't get a whole lot. In your mind you didn't, even though you're getting something you don't realize. But then maybe that fourth day, it clicks with you. Something clicks that hadn't clicked before. Well, man, it helps your soul. And so that's what he's talking about. But he's not talking about this. Look at this fatness. Deuteronomy 31. This is something that's going on in the world as a whole today. This type of fat, wrong type of fatness. Deuteronomy 31. This is the type of the fatness we don't want. And this is what's happening. 31 verse 20. He says this, "For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey." He's speaking of Israel here, and he's talking about how blessed they're going to get when they got that land. "And they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxen fat." Alright, so they've gotten full. So full physically, they're waxing fat. It says, "Then will they return unto other gods." What? When they've gotten so satisfied, they don't look for the Lord no more. It says, "Then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant." You think that isn't something? You know why? Hey, it's good for us to be full. It's good for us if you can handle it. But you know, you take people who... the thing is... You can handle blessings better when you handle them with a relationship with the Lord. The trouble is this. The trouble is a nation like America. You take a bunch of lost folks getting blessings that so many bless. You take a bunch of lost folks who are just don't hurt for anything and don't want for anything. Well, you give that to a lost man, he don't think he needs God. See, that he does, but he don't realize it. Why? Because what's happening is they got a full belly, they got plenty to eat, they got plenty to drink, they got a good clean bed to sleep in at night, and they got rains not dripping on them at nighttime. They say, "Hey, what do I need God for?" All right, so what happens is you take a nation like that, and he says, "They will not serve me, they will follow other God, they'll find another God." And that's what you run into. That's why... You know where folks will find God at most of the time. That's why you have to let them find them there. Folks will find God in prison. You know why? Because they ain't got nothing else. They realize they need Him. You know why you'll find God letting folks go to prison and letting things happen to them? Because they have to get to a place where they realize they need Him. You know what you'll find? You'll find today, you'll find people who are doing okay. They're doing just good enough and everything else. Well, they won't pray and they won't read the Bible and they don't come to church, but you let God get them to a place where they realize, where they hit rock bottom, and they'll say, "No, God, where you at?" And you know what? And they think God's not helping. God's helping them by doing that. A lot of times, a lot of folks have been spared by going to a place to where they know they needed God. You take this story I read about a soldier. This soldier was lost. I'm talking about lost type of deal. Not to say that somebody may be more lost than the other, but what I'm saying is everybody who tells you about this guy who got saved, they said he's the last one I ever thought would have got saved. He gets captured over there, across seas over there by some of those Iraqis. And buddy, they put him in there and they was going to torture him. And evidently, the thing was, and he's told the story, they had a thing where they put your hand in a vise. And they would, if they wanted to know where your people were, they would begin to take these hot things and put them under your fingernails. And he knew that was going to happen to him. Guess what? He found the Lord. And you know what the Lord did? The Lord had him broke out of prison. And buddy, he's witnessing over there, left and right. He went from kind of like Saul, from one extreme to the other. But you know what he does now? Thank God, that's what it took to wake him up. And the sad fact is the worst condition that somebody can be in is in a satisfied condition. And they get so hard and the Lord don't do anything about it. You know what? The worst people I feel the sorriest for are the ones who are satisfied without the Lord. You ever get to where you're satisfied without the Lord, you're in a bad shape. Them folks that's dealing, them folks that you can tell they're dealing with, they're the ones who the Lord, let the Lord deal with their heart. And He'll get them to where you can talk to them. Some people are not going to hear it. And some people just want to get out of their bad situation. If you got a person, you can tell when they're right. Look, I'm not trying to get out of my bad situation. I'm not trying to get right because I'm trying to get right because I want to love the Lord and I want the Lord to know I'm sorry for what I've done. And whatever happens, happen. The Lord can help somebody like that. And so you find this the wrong fatness that goes on. And are y'all still in Deuteronomy? Look at Deuteronomy 32 while you're there. I believe it's going to be verse 15. I wanted to show you that one. It says this, but Jeshurun, that's just another name for Israel, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Look at that. That was the Lord, I tell him, man. Then he forsook God which made him win. When he got so satisfied, he didn't want to do anything. And lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. You know what you'll find today? People lightly esteeming God. It's just God. I'll just do what I want to. Well, I tell you what, the Lord will bless you with things on the inside that money can't buy, nothing else can buy, when you don't lightly esteem God. And you say, Lord, I'm taking you serious. And man, when you take God serious, guess what? When you care for God, when you care for the things of God, God can care for your things. And not to say that He don't still love you if you're not. The thing is, You're standing with the Lord. Whenever you get saved, brother, you are saved. That's your standing. But your state varies because we're still in the sinful body. Now, in the sinful body, we're sowing to the flesh and that thing. The Lord says, hey, that thing's dust. And if you sow to the flesh, that's a law. The Bible says it's a law in Galatians. That law says if you sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. And the Bible said, look, hey, the Lord said, I can't bless that. Why? Because that's the law. Alright, so back to the Proverbs. We want our diligent soul to be made fat. Now verse 5 it says, a righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. And that's why I'm getting to where I hate the news. I tell you what, man, that news is a bunch of liars, man. You know, they're checking the facts. I don't know if y'all ever have heard them say, well, the fact check on so-and-so speech or the fact check. But most of them lies. Like that speech Obama had the other day about the gun thing. Just a pack of lies. Man, you know what you'll find out? Chicago and Washington have the most gun laws, are just about, you know, I'm going to say, and here goes them facts. They got a lot of gun laws, I'll say that, and I know that's true. But you know what? They got high levels of crime. Why? Because the honest folks are putting the guns down, then the unhonest folks are coming in and robbing the folks who put their gun down. You know what you'll find out? If you've got a gun in your house and somebody knows it, they're a whole lot less likely to come in there because they don't want to get shot. Now look, you know, around here, that Second Amendment rights is very important because every person ought to be able to bear arms. The Bible gives you permission to protect yourself and your family. And you better believe it's in there. Liars. And so you got a bunch of liars. Verse 6, righteousness keepeth him that is upright in the way. So that's the right way. You know, it's the Lord's way, the straight way. But wickedness overthroweth the sinner. So you know what you'll find out? Most people, whenever they get to acting wicked, you just give them a little time. They'll overthrow their own self. You do not have to. I'm learning this more and more. There's some folks right now. I think, nah, that man is just as sorry. You know, and I'm just telling you how my mind. You know, you get to think. Well, you know what? Don't worry about it. The Lord will let them have the fruit of their own way. And if they keep on down that path, that's a dead-end road anyway. The thing is, when you're on a constant wicked path, like, and you're on that path, and that the wicked path is just like, it's crooked, just like the Bible says, like that right there. Well, you know what happens? You go and you play with your kid, and if you ever take your kid up like this right and spin him around, you know what, you'll get dizzy. Well, you know what? It's spiritually, it's like, if you go like that right there, you get confused. Well, you know what happened? Then you start making mistakes. The wicked will be overthrown in their own ways. Wow, that path is a confusion, wicked path, and it leads down the same from nowhere. And so, that's what you got. Now, verse 7 says, there is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. And man, I read that verse the other night, and I was so excited. The Lord gave me a sermon outline on that thing. Things are not always what they seem. And one of these days, Lord willing, I'll be able to preach it to you. But I want to give you a couple things about that. There is that maketh himself rich. Look at Ecclesiastes 5:12. Ecclesiastes 5:12. You know what you're going to find out? Some things that you can't buy with money. You cannot buy some things with money. We are living in a country to where you got people who can buy positions, they can buy governmental offices. You take people who put things in bills and things like that and just rob people, robbing them with taxes and things. But guess what? They can do a lot of things with it, but you can't buy some things. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12. This is something that you cannot buy, money. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet. You can't buy good sleep. It takes something to get it. Whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. See there? It don't matter. It don't matter. You know what you'll find out? You go get yourself an honest, hard day's work where you have been honest with yourself and honest with others, and you work hard. Guess what? You'll come home asleep at nighttime. And when I was younger, I got some pretty good days of sleep. But Daddy, he don't mind me telling it. Man, we'd put some mulch out and stuff like that. And you know what? I've laid across the bed. I'm wanting to take a shower every night. Or I've laid across the bed before and said, I'm going to lay down a little while. Just a little while. And you know what? That's sweet sleep. And you know, the thing is, we ought to have that. And I'm not saying you got to go over here and work your fingers to the bone, but the thing is putting a good day's work in is good for you. You can't buy that. You got to do things. And it's telling you, but the thing is, you know, some people make themselves rich. Yeah, they may be rich, but they don't have anything that's worth any substance. But the thing is, there is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. Now look, here's some things that the Bible teaches as far as being poor in. You can have things, because look, God has saved rich people and He saved poor people. He saves anybody. He'll save anybody who'll come to Him. But the thing is you got to realize some poor people can be rich in other ways. Look at this verse as far as being rich on something. Here, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 right quick. Show you some things here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This is how we are. And I had to memorize this chapter for school, so I really like this chapter a lot. But this is talking about how we are. But approving ourselves as the ministers of God. Well, we're all ministers in some type of a way. But how do you prove your own self? Well, man, these are some tough characteristics right here. But if you'll look in verse 10, it says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. You know, sometimes we seem sorrowful, but we always find something to rejoice in. But he says this, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Isn't that something? You think right now, this earth, nobody in here owns all the land in this earth, do we? But you know what? One of these days, the Lord Jesus is coming back, and the Bible says He owns the whole earth as He is, and we're His bride. So guess what? What's His is mine. We're joint heirs. So you know what? Somebody can put a no trespassing sign on something right now if they want to, but one of these days they have to take it down when I come by. And brother, that's neat right there. Right now, you possess all things. Now, hey, the Lord hadn't come and claimed the title deed to it, but you know what? At the cross, He won it. It's His. And I heard a preacher say one time, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, which that's what the Bible said, but He said He even owns the taters under the hills. And He does. So we're with Him. And so you may seem like you're poor, but you're rich. But another thing, we're supposed to make others rich. You know, the thing is the Lord made Himself of no reputation. Here He is seeming to be poor, but He was really rich.
Why was it back in the Old Testament that, you know, had the rich man, the poor man, or the rich man had to take the mark of the beast to have anything? The poor man wouldn't take it.
You talking about in Ezekiel? I mean, in the tribulation. You got an Old Testament doctor coming back. Yeah, and the rich man will take the mark of the beast to keep his riches. Yeah, that's what, yeah.
Yeah. He wouldn't have it.
Yeah, and that's what's coming as far. But now, right now, under Pauline doctrine, under church doctrine, there's nothing wrong with having things at all. But now in the Old Testament too, you have to realize that and we're going to go over this in the next verse probably. But the thing is, in the Old Testament, when you was blessed by the Lord will let you have riches. All right, just to show His blessings on you. See, that's the difference now. Now it could be either or. But back then, that's why whenever the Lord said it's harder for a rich man to enter into heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Well, what it is because it had been perverted over the years. But all through the ages there, and the disciples said, Lord, who then could be saved? Well, what it is, you get to go and you read about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, about how rich they were and all this stuff, and they thought, well, Lord, who could be saved then? Well, now the thing is, hey, anybody, you can have blessings now. They're like Paul. Nobody was blessed like Paul that we're aware of, and he was dirt poor. All right, well, then you got other folks like Joseph of Arimathea, very, very rich man. So you got either or on that, but the thing is God has to use each one of us in each walk of life. Why? To reach who we can reach. The thing is, everybody in here has got your own missionary field. Where you go, that's your missionary field. That's where God's got you. I've heard people say, well, I don't know where to go. I don't know where God wants me to go. He wants you to go right where you're going. You just stay on the straight and narrow path, and everybody you see on your path, you just tell them, anybody you get opportunity to, that's the one. Sometimes you get to a place where it's just you and somebody else. Well, try to get the conversation around the Lord. Just sow a seed. And guess what? Somebody else, if they're sowing their seed, them things will go together. And the Lord's able to give the increase on that thing. And so that's what we're to do. I run out of time there. That next verse is going to take a little while, so we'll stop.